Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And I'm always excited when I get to talk to our good friend, Nance Gill-Martin. And I know you are, too, when you find out she's coming up. Nance has become an outstanding member of our Brain Trust in the last few years. She's a four-time, count them, folks, four-time Emmy Award-winning broadcast journalist. How about that? That puts her pretty high up on a pedestal for me. She's a speaker, a writer, an executive coach. Her books include The Power of Pause, and Healing Conversations is now out in a revised edition, and she's our good friend, Nance Gill-Martin. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's always great to hear you.
It's good to talk to you, too, and I always like reminding people, folks, that she once worked for someone that I always consider to be a great American, Senator, now I've lost his name.
Paul Tsongas.
I know it. I just couldn't get it out.
Welcome to life.
You know. Well, you know what happens whenever I think of him. I have to get over the spelling. The late Paul Tsongas. Tell the audience how Tsongas is spelled.
It's T-S-O-N-G-A-S.
Yeah. Whenever I think of him, I always have to get rid of the T first. I have to go through that process. But anyway, I like the fact that after all these years, that at least I still talk about someone I think was a great American. Anyway, let's talk about emotional hijacks. I know that's something you've been thinking about a lot lately, and that you talk about. What is an emotional hijack?
Well, the concept really is, and it happens to all of us rather easily. You're going along in your day, and perhaps unexpectedly, somebody hits your hot button, or it's like a trigger, or someone says something to you that just all the things that have been bugging you that week or that day, maybe about other people or other situations, you reach that tipping point that you say, that's it, I've had it.
Some people don't have a hot button. Some people are a hot button. all you do is just get within an 8-digit grid coordinate of them, and you push some button on them.
Well, and I, of course, you know me, I have compassion for and curiosity around. We all have a, sort of like a, there's a neurophysiology of conflict. We have heard we have the old brain and the new brain.
Mm-hmm.
We have the fight to survive.
The reptilian brain. And the
fight to survive, thank goodness we have it. It hasn't gone away, and no one is saying it should. But a lot of what we're living in now are fight or flight times where very quickly we are wired to react. And our brains and our bodies have access to gut reactions that overpower our mind and our emotions take over, whether it's we've just heard our team won or lost, we got a raise, we didn't, there's a problem with somebody at work and we're sick and tired of this person's personality, we get another message about something that a company is blaming us that we did wrong, and we're the customer, and we didn't do anything wrong, and we've had it. So the emotional hijacks happen when we get flooded with reactions, usually driven by chemicals, or impatience, or weariness, or a lack of ability to pause.
And when you say chemicals, you talk about natural chemicals or ingested
natural chemicals?
Natural chemicals. Okay, all right.
Just like adrenaline.
Yeah.
And other sort of chemical reactions that can fuel our quickness to judge, to take action.
And you're saying that those are things within us that hijack our emotions, that we allow other people to push the buttons on us that hijack our emotions, but we actually allow that to happen, don't we? I mean, we may blame it on someone else, but we allow that to happen ourselves.
I like your choice of the word allow. I think part of it is that if you think about the world we live in, listen, we're human. Most people are living, I don't care whether you're the grandparents I talk to feel so pressured because their grandchildren are running around living this speedy life. And
right.
Now the grandparents are doing Twitters, tweets, maybe emails, Facebook. Their parents are running around. Whether people are working or not working, people are busy. And so what's happening is that the speed that we're living our lives, even if our lives are fantastic and wonderful and challenging, rather than, you know, it's not all gloomy for everyone, the speed with which we're living our lives makes it harder and harder to take a moment and say, wait a minute, I know I'm really upset because this person never calls me back, and then they call and they want something from me, and I've had it. It's harder for us to step back and say, oh, gosh, you know, maybe I have neglected to let this person know how I feel, or maybe I haven't gotten curious about why they don't call me back. Maybe I don't realize that they are barely hanging in there, that they've got to-do lists on every floor of their house.
Isn't it important, though, to differentiate between things like she didn't call me back to things like she didn't call me back with the information that's going to keep all of us from losing our job? You see what I mean? In other words, calling me back might be a disrespect thing that I don't like, but it also might be that that person has information that she's withholding from me that I need. If I don't have that, then I'm in some kind of other jeopardy. You see what I mean?
I do.
Can we differentiate?
We can, and I'm going to give you two answers to that. Part of what I've seen in helping people prevent or resolve conflict or not be hijacked by it is to say, okay, how long have you been annoyed at this person or at a lot of situations where you have felt disrespected?
Mm-hmm.
What often happens is, first time it happens, it's no big deal. Second time it happens, well, I've got other fish to fry here. I've got bigger worries with this job or this situation or today. I'm not going to go there, people will say. Water off a duck's back, someone will say. I've got more important things to do. The problem is, over time, whether it's over that day or that week or through the month,
right,
we get increasingly resentful, annoyed, frustrated. We're a little bit like a volcano. As long as we can have little vents going and
right,
we can vent a little bit, the volcano doesn't blow. However, when it stops venting, it's a sign it's going to blow.
Yeah, that's when the top, when the pressure's in there.
What I would say is it builds up your resentment bank account, and if you don't take responsibility to clear it out, you will blow.
When we come back, I want to talk about not overreacting the first time something like this happens, but then how to deal with somebody who's a recurring issue. How do you deal? And there are real people out there who are destined, who are committed to pushing your buttons. How do you deal with those people? After these messages, 20 after, Nancy Gilmartin is our guest. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.